I'm excited to be with you today as we continue in our series called Out of Control. Whoa. That's just proving the point that I'm not in control this morning. Out of control. And I loved last week. Didn't you enjoy? We're beginning to discover some things about God, some truths about Him, that God didn't create us to control us. God gave us freedom to choose, as we see that picture of it in Genesis, whether we're going to choose what is good and God's best, or we're going to choose for ourselves. Something that doesn't give life, like we see with Adam and Eve. We've discovered that God has given us dominion, not to control, but to rule in this life. And I love that word that Dan shared last week. And you can catch up on that on the podcast. If you just have a look there, you'll be sure to be encouraged as you do. I'm really excited this week, though, as we discover together how God has given us freedom and life. Not to control others, not to be people who are controlled by other people, but to be people who He gives the power to control ourselves. Are you leaning in yet? We're going to look in Genesis 4 at the story of Cain. So Dan started last week with Adam and Eve, looking at their life, their choices, their decisions, how that worked out. We're going to look at the story of their two sons. And it's Genesis 4, but I'm going to read it to you from a version of the Bible called the Message Bible. It's just an easier story kind of format, so I just wanted to use it this morning. I like how they phrased it. And we're going to look at some truths this morning as we look at the story of Cain and Abel, these two brothers. We're going to learn that the first truth is, I can't control you. The second truth we're going to look at is, you can't control me. And the third truth that everything comes down to is nobody actually controls me but me. So let's go on this journey together as we look at Adam and Eve and their sons, Cain and Abel. Cain was the firstborn. He was the oldest. And then came Abel. Abel was a herdsman. He looked after all the animals. But Cain worked the land, so he was a farmer. And it says in time passed, and Cain brought an offering to God from the produce of his farm. And Abel also brought an offering, but from the firstborn animals of his herd, choice cuts of meat. Who just got a little bit more excited right then? A whole lot of people that are loving meat on this whole beef and meat bandwagon. And I don't know whether Abel's offering was like nice ribs. I don't know if he marinated them. I don't know if he smoked them for 3 days. I don't know the story, but the word says that God liked Abel and his offering. Who's here with God right now? I take the meat. But Cain and his offering didn't get God's approval. Oh, man. What happened next is Cain lost his temper and went into a sulk. Woo! You know, both Abel and Cain brought an offering to God. Like, even this morning, we're coming before God. We give financially as an offering, but we give of our lives. We give in worship an offering to God. Everything that we do, you know, we've been talking about that verse that Elaine mentioned in communion. Take your everyday, ordinary lives and lay it before God. Every part of our lives, an offering. If they both brought an offering, then what was the problem? Is God a meat eater and not a vegetarian? Why didn't it please God? As we look into this story more, I see that it's not so much about their hands and what their hands did and their hands bought. It was more about their heart. I discovered that, like Abel, when he came with his meat offering from his firstborn, his heart that he came to God with was a humble heart, was the heart of a sinner, was a heart that was drawing near to God and was drawing near to God humbly, God's way. But Cain, when we look at his heart, Cain came in with his offering and his heart was hard. His heart was proud. His heart was like, I'm just going to please you, God, how I want to please you. So this is how I'm going to do it. You know, studies even say that he had an unbelieving heart. I wonder what your heart's like and my heart's like this morning. Not just today, but every day. It's a good thing to do a heart check. If I'm bringing my life before God every day, what's my heart like this morning? Because it's not God just looking at our hands. God's looking at our heart. I think Cain was thinking more about himself than he was about God. Let's read what Cain did when things didn't go his way. So Cain's brought his offering. Abel's brought his offering. God was accepted Abel's offering and was pleased with him, but not with Cain. Cain started to have a temper and to sulk. It says Cain lost his temper and went into a sulk. Then God spoke to Cain. Why this tantrum? Why this sulking, Cain? What do we do when things don't go the way that we want them to? We can have a little tantrum. Have you ever seen a kid have a tantrum? We have three wonderful children, but each of them has had at least one tantrum in their lives. Apparently this morning I came to church before Dan. I didn't have to deal with it, so it doesn't count. A natural response when we don't get our own way is to have a tantrum. A tantrum is like, I want this and I want it now. We've seen toddlers do it. Have you seen an adult have a tantrum? Come on. I mean, it's a little bit fun watching an adult have a tantrum when you think how ridiculous it looks, right? Have you ever been the adult having the tantrum? Come on. Come on. I've had a tantrum, maybe more an inward tantrum than a stomping my feet and yelling till my face goes red. I've probably had some of them too. But this is the whole issue of control. This tantrum that Cain was having was because things weren't going his way. And it's an issue of control when we have a tantrum. We're trying to manipulate things or people to do what we want. Sometimes people are yelling. They're trying to take back the power. They feel powerless. Something's out of my control. I feel powerless. I'm trying to be the one that has the power and is in control. And it's going to happen like this. And if it doesn't happen how I want it to, I'm going to be a little bit like Cain and I'm going to have a tantrum. I'm going to start sulking. But God says to him, why this tantrum, Cain? Why the sulking? I wonder if his tantrum came because he was trying to control Abel. He couldn't control Abel and the sacrifice Abel brought. Maybe Cain's over there, you know, preparing his salad and his fruit platter. I don't know. Looks over at Abel, who's there whistling, you know, happily preparing his smoked meats and marinating in the herbs, and Cain can smell it. Perhaps he was angry because he couldn't control what Abel was doing. Perhaps he was angry when God didn't accept it because he couldn't control God's acceptance of him. But when we can't have control over people, we can have a tantrum. We can get frustrated, especially when people don't do things the way that we do them. If you don't do it the way that I do it, I feel uncomfortable. I would prefer that you were much more like me. And that's when control starts to kick in to make people more like ourselves. But we see in the story of Cain, what Cain really needed, he couldn't have control over Abel because the truth is, I can't control you. Just like Cain couldn't control Abel, I can't control you. Can you say that after me? I can't control you. I like hearing that from you. No, I can't control you. Because the truth is, we can't control others. We can only control ourselves. And what Cain needed to do in that moment was recognize God's pointing out, I'm having a tantrum. I can't control what Abel did. I can't control God's response, but I can control myself. See, God, we read this, God spoke out to Cain and he says to him, this is verse 6-7 in the Message version, Cain, why this tantrum? Why this sulking? Why are you trying to control others? Cain, if you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin is lying in wait for you, ready to pounce. It's out to get you, and you've got to master it. I love the heart of God that I see here in the story of Cain and Abel, that God is almost saying, warning, ever have that feeling before you start to have a tantrum and something starting to boil? I'm not happy with what's happening. This feels out of control. God's almost going, warning now. You can either do this the right way. We can either work on this right now, or if you keep going, sin's lying in wait at the door to pounce on you and to master you, and you know what the next step's going to look like. Have you ever heard somebody say, hey, man, I lost my spot. God's saying to Cain, this is actually about you, Cain. It's time you take responsibility for your life. It's time you take control of yourself. And Cain's response to God, as God has this conversation with him in this moment. Anyone ever been in that moment of conflict where somebody points out what's going on and you know, okay, I can kind of, am I hearing it? What am I going to do? Cain's response, instead of changing to take responsibility for his own behavior, for his own heart, for his own problems, Cain's response to God, instead of going, hang on, God, I'm going to retrace my steps here. What happened? What happened back then? What's been going on? What did I do and what did somebody else do? Instead of retracing his steps, instead of reflecting on his own ways, hang on, let me just reflect here. Something happened here, God. I wonder why you didn't accept my offering. I wonder what you're trying to teach me. I wonder what, because I know that you're good, because I know that you love me. I know that you're out to give me the best. I know that's your heart for me. So he didn't even do that. He didn't retrace his steps. He didn't reflect on his own responsibility here. And he didn't restore his relationship with Abel or with God. I think in that moment he could have, right? He could have retraced his steps. He could have reflected on his ways. And he could have worked to restore his relationship. And I think those three things are a great reminder for all of us. When we're at that point where it's like, hang on, we feel that warning. You're about to step over something and sin's going to overtake you. It's going to master you and the fruit of that's going to be bad. It's like there's a warning out of God's goodness and kindness. I can go, hang on, I can't control what Abel's doing. I can't control what that person's doing. I can't control their choices, but I can be in control of me. I'm going to retrace my steps, God. Holy Spirit, will you show me? Maybe I can't see it. Maybe I'm blinded by my own desires. But Holy Spirit, will you show me? Will you shine your light in here? And I've had to do this many times in my life. I'm going to reflect. I'm going to reflect. Show me, Holy Spirit. I want to reflect on what I did. What happened? What was going on in my heart, God? And then would you help me, Holy Spirit, and restore this relationship in a heart of humility like Abel had as he brought his offering before God? I wonder if Cain's story could have been changed. That was a pivot moment for him, I wonder. But he actually lost the plot. Is this encouraging today? I think this is my prayer is that today, as I'm sharing with you, that it's just going to bring some freedom in your life, in your relationships. Cain's reaction was in verse 8 in the message says, Cain had words with his brother. Ever had words with somebody? I don't think it's like, you know, nice words. I think he had words with his brother. He's upset. He's having a temper tantrum and he has words. They were out in the field, it says, and Cain came at Abel, his brother, and killed him. Anybody ever been the one charging at somebody when you feel wrong done by? When you're about to say, this isn't happening the way I want it to, we can charge at people. Oh my gosh, just me. That has anger issues. Maybe you've been the person that's been charged at. You know how it feels. But because Cain didn't take that pivot moment to allow God in, Cain followed through and was like, I'm going to charge. I'm going to sort this out. And he came at his brother and he killed his brother. God said to Cain in verse 9, Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And Cain says to God, how should I know? Am I his babysitter? Who would talk to God like that? Whoa, if you spoke to your parents like that when I was a child, I would be in trouble. How would I know? What, am I his babysitter? I feel like Cain was thinking like, yeah, well, I'm not responsible for what I did because he made me do it. What are you asking me about? I'm not responsible for him. No, but you're responsible for yourself. Because the other truth is you can't control me. You know, I pick up on the feeling a little bit like Cain was blaming Abel. Blaming everybody else, like, well, he made me do it. Have you heard somebody say, well, if they didn't do that, then I wouldn't have had to do this? Does this sound like ownership of myself? Ownership of, this is what God wants for us, to take ownership of ourselves. And I'm sharing really vulnerably and honestly saying, I'm not I'm not the queen at this. This is highlighting things in my life. And over this year, I've been on this journey of looking at control in my life. And we're in this together. Cain was almost like, sounded to me like he was like, I'm the victim here, you know. And we can be like that in life. And they can be real situations that are heartbreaking, that are hurtful. Somebody can make a choice that really impacts our lives. But then we have a choice to let that control us and be people that are powerless, and we are giving them the power over our lives now to dictate our future, to dictate our mood, to dictate our day. When God is, I think his heart is like, hang on a minute. If your life is based upon me, then let me speak into this moment. Let me speak to you. You don't have control over that, but you do have control over you and over your response. God continues to bring the responsibility back to Cain. You know, he says, where is your brother? Cain's like, you know, whatever he does, he does. But he's saying, no, you are responsible here. You have a connection. You have a responsibility. You're the older brother. You still have a responsibility. And often we tell ourselves we're not responsible for how we are behaving. It's like we think that we are powerless to do anything but what we're being made to do. And we can get stuck in this place of, I can't change unless you change. I can't forgive unless you change. I can't love unless you change. I can't be free unless you let me out of prison. Who has the power then? Somebody else we've given the power to decide for us, to control us. God brings it back to Cain again. Cain's trying to pass the blame, trying to control others. And in verse 10 to 12, this is what happens. God comes back to Cain and says, what have you done? Notice he doesn't ask, oh, Cain, what has everybody done to you? He's addressing Cain in this moment and saying, what have you done? Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about you. What have you done? God says, the voice of your brother's blood is calling to me from the ground, Cain. From now on, you'll get nothing but curses from this ground. Remember, he was a farmer and he worked the ground. Cain, you'll be driven from this ground that has opened its arms to receive the blood of your murdered brother. You'll farm this ground, but it will no longer give you its best. Sounds like Adam and Eve, right? You'll be a homeless wanderer on earth. What have you done? You know, I've been trying this phrase with our kids, right? Poor kids. They're kind of like, honestly, parents, I never realized, they're kind of like guinea pigs. You try any, if you're like me, you try any kind of parenting tool you can to help raise your kids to love God and love each other. I've been saying this lately. What are you going to do about that? Because it puts the ownership back on them. That happened. Yes, it happened. I'm sorry that that happened, but what are you going to do about that? Are you with me? What are you going to do about it? Because God said to Cain, what have you done? God clearly put the responsibility back on Cain. Not on him, but it was his responsibility. Regardless of how Cain felt, he'd made the choice to not take responsibility. Cain made the choice not to retrace his steps, reflect on what he'd done, and restore the relationship. Even though God had warned him, I find this so sad. Cain continued the way he began. You know, we're all about seeing people in their lives changed by Jesus, right? That's what we're all about. I'm all about Jesus changing my life continually to become more and more like him. And that means that the way that I've handled relationships in the past need to continue to be changing to reflect more and more of who Jesus is. I don't see Jesus as somebody that's controlling. I don't see Jesus as someone that's putting the blame on other people. We want to handle relationships the way that Jesus did. When you think about Jesus, did his behavior or who he was change when people started accusing him and blaming him? Did he all of a sudden change who he was? Did he stop loving? Did he stop sharing about the kingdom of God? Did he change? He didn't change. Did he withdraw his love if someone wasn't treating him right? He didn't change. And I'm so challenged and so inspired by Jesus to think that he gives me the power to live that way as well if I make the choice to. All right. The truth is, nobody controls me but me. Would you say that this morning? Nobody controls me but me. Even God. You know, sometimes I've thought, well, God, take control. You just control me. But you know, when I was little and I was lying in bed one night when I was about 10 maybe, and I said to Mum, how come God made, in the Garden of Eden, why was there the opportunity to sin? Why did God let us maybe not choose him? Mum's like, because of love. If he didn't give us the choice, he didn't give us the freedom to make the choice, then we're just like robots, like machines. We can't give God love. God was about the relationship, about us choosing him. Nobody controls me but me. God's given us the freedom of choice. He's sovereign and he reigns. What started with Cain continued. In verse 13 to 14, Cain said to God, my punishment is too much. Sounds a bit like a tantrum, right? Ever get grounded or punished when you're like a kid or a teenager and you're like, this is too much. My punishment is too much, God. I can't take it. You've thrown me off the land and I can never again face you. I'm a homeless wanderer on earth and whoever finds me will kill me. Does it sound like Cain has yet got it that he is in control of himself, that he's made choices? It sounds to me like he's still blaming God. Well, God, you've thrown me off the land and I can never again face you now. Great, thanks. I'm a homeless wanderer on earth and now whoever finds me will kill me thanks to you. No thanks to you, right? But God told him no. Again, we see God's goodness and God's kindness. Anyone who kills you will pay for it 7 times over. And he actually put a mark on Cain to protect him so that no one who met him would kill him. How good is God still? How good is God still when I take the same steps as Cain again and again? God is so good. Verse 16, I find, is one of the saddest verses. It says that Cain left the presence of God. And truth, he lived in no man's land, east of Eden. Who knows, when we withdraw from the presence of God, where are we? We're in no man's land. No, don't feel good. Don't feel like anything's happening. I was drawn from God, and this is where Cain is. And this I find even more sad. Oh, who came to church to be uplifted this morning? I find it even more. It makes me think more. When I read from verse 7, it says that Cain and his wife had a son. So not only has Cain blamed people and refused to take responsibility for his own actions, not only did he harden his heart towards God and not humble himself before God and take responsibility and work to restore the relationship that God would have restored, but now his son is involved in this. And it says that he had a son. He then built a city and named the city after his son. And the name of the city and of his son was Enoch. When he built this city, Enoch actually means dedicated or trained. When I was reading about it, somebody said it's like Cain was trying to have a whole new beginning of self-reliance. He left the presence of God. He built his own city with his own son and his family in it. And this city was enclosed with a wall or a barricade. And this city, in this place, what's still ruling Cain is this fear and this self-defense. Someone's still going to kill me, even though God said it's still not enough. Now Cain's life has been turned inward, away from God, and he is isolating himself, and he's all about protecting me and what I can do to control my life, control my circumstances. I don't know about you, but I think of the place where he was with God, having conversation with God, having the ability to be restored in relationship and to work through things with God. But I see his heart. I see him over there. He's left the presence of God, and he's built himself a city with his family. family, and he's built walls up around himself because he's like, well, no, I have to be the one that is responsible. I'm in control now, but he's still not in control of himself. I think it's crazy because to me that is not a picture of freedom, but it's a jail of fear and control, because control comes from fear. But God has created us to know freedom and life that comes from relationship with him. You know, the crazy thing when I was studying these scriptures, you know, back when God had warned Cain, when he started having a temper and a tantrum, and God said to him, if you do well, Cain, right now, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, Cain, sin is lying in wait for you, ready to pounce, and it's out to get you. You've got to master it. When God gave him that warning, what I read is that phrase, sin, it's the same word for sin and sacrifice for sin. It's like almost the same, God was saying, look, you've done something wrong, but while there's this choice that won't lead to good things, this choice is going to, sin will overtake you and master you, or the remedy and the answer is at the door. The sacrifice for sin is at the door, because in Revelation 3:20 tells us that Christ stands at the door and knocks. So when we're in that moment where we start to go, things aren't going our way, and I'm starting to get upset because I don't have control, I can't control somebody else, and I can't control what God does, in that moment we have the opportunity. God says, be careful, because sin is waiting at that door to pounce on you and master you. We know what that led to for Cain, being away from the presence of God and building his own fortified city of guilt and of fear. But the other side of it was he could have opened the door to Jesus to come in, because he says in Revelation 3:20, look at me, Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear me call, open the door. I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Conquerors, he says, will sit alongside me at the head table. Just as I, Jesus said, having conquered, took the place of honor at the side of my Father. That's my gift to the conquerors. I find that so true in me, right? In those moments where I'm starting to lose it, I can't control things, I can't control people, I'm heading down that path, I feel like there's that door that I have to be careful. Once I go through that door, once I commit to me, once I start charging at people, once I start blaming other people and going down that path, that's going to lead to being away from the presence of God. That's not going to lead to life. That's going to lead to death. That's not going to lead to freedom. That's going to lead to bondage. But I also have the opportunity in that moment to open the door and say, Jesus, would you come in? Right now, I'm on the edge. I'm about to lose it. I'm blaming everybody else. But Jesus, I know there's another way, because I'm connected to you. Because I'm connected to you, and you are the vine, and I am the branch that's connected to you. Everything that is of you can flow in and through into my life right now. If I don't have patience, you have patience. Everything that is the fruit of your spirit, of self-control, goodness, kindness, love, all these things that aren't natural for me. My natural default is to go down that way and commit to it and later maybe feel like guilty for it and afraid. And I'm like, Cain, but God, you've made another way. I can open that door and say, Jesus, would you come in? Would you have supper with me? Can we hang out together? Can you help me to retrace my steps? Can you help me to reflect? Can you help? I want to restore our relationship, because everything else flows out of your relationship with me. You have, your spirit is a spirit of self-control, and you are able to help me have control over myself and not let sin rule and master me. I love that God is always there. There is always another way. But we need to realize, I can't control you. You can't control me. And nobody's going to control me but me. God has given me the freedom to make a decision in that moment. What am I going to choose? Why don't you stand with me this morning? You know, my heart isn't that this morning it's a really hard word. My heart is this morning that God opens our eyes, that where we've been trapped in guilt, or where we've been trapped in blaming other people or situations for our own actions, we come before God this morning and say, God, this is you and me, and I stand before you, and I'm Forgive me, God. I don't want to be someone that is trying to control others. I want to be somebody that brings life. I don't want to be somebody that's blaming others for things. But God, before you, I'm going to take responsibility and I'm going to, by your Spirit, have what I need to control myself, Jesus. I'm going to pray in just a moment. Jesus, we just want to reflect you. We want to be changed more and more to be like you, Jesus. And we've tried things our way, but we want to do things your way. Lord, I thank you that you show the paths before us that either lead to death or to life. We either choose to deny you and to try and control things ourselves, or we say, God, would you, Jesus, would you come in and sit with me? Would you, thank you that you provide all that I'm needing. If you're with me this morning, you're like, hey, God, I'm coming before you, and I want to admit this morning that I want to be responsible for you, for me. Does that make sense? God, I'm realizing this morning that nobody can control me but me. Maybe like Ames, I've blamed other people before while our eyes are shut. Maybe it's like I've been in that trap before, but I want to know freedom. So this morning, if you want to know freedom in that, I'd love to pray for you. Freedom in relationships, freedom to let go of blame, freedom to smash down those walls of that city that we've isolated ourselves in. And this morning, if you're like, Ames, I want to open that door to Jesus and just say, would you come in, Jesus, and just be with me. Teach me, let your fruit of your Spirit flow through my life. Maybe you've got stuff happening in relationships right now and you're just like, I really need his help this morning. I would love to pray with you as you raise your hands this morning. Jesus, thank you that you are our restorer. Thank you that you are good and that you are faithful and that your mercy is new every morning. And this morning, as we come before you, we come before a throne of mercy. And this morning, Lord God, I pray that, Lord, you would undo chains that have held us down, things that we have blamed others for, Lord God, or looked at others to, God. Right now, we just want to remove all those things and stand before you and say, God, we recognize we are responsible for us, but we need your help. Jesus, we want to open that door for you to come into these situations, to sit with us, to spend time with us. Lord, we choose to spend time with you and allow your Spirit to dictate who we are, what we say, and how we respond to people today in this moment, Lord God. Lord, and tomorrow, the next day, and the day after, and the day after. Thank you that by your Spirit, you give us power to be overcomers. By your Spirit, Lord God, we are more than conquerors. Lord, we sit beside you and who you are. We recognize, Jesus, that nothing took control of you. Lord, and we want to be people that are only led by and motivated by your love and your kindness and your Spirit, Lord, that others would experience the life-giving freedom of Jesus as we experience it and as we give it out in our lives. In Jesus' name.